The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome finally to another episode of Messy & Co. I'm Ashley, here as always with my incredible co-host, Gian, and all I can say, it's been a long time coming. How are you doing, Gian?
I'm doing good. Excited to be back. It feels like forever. Maybe it's been forever. Maybe it's just not the feeling like forever, but I'm so glad to be back. So much has happened since we last recorded an episode.
So much has happened. A lot.
I mean, on a personal level, just, so we can connect on a, what you've been up to, kind of like, I went on a trip. I went to Europe. I went to go watch I was talking to Ashley before we started recording. I actually went to go experience my first Premier League game ever in person, Arsenal versus Nottingham Forest at Emirates Stadium in London. That was amazing, amazing. So that was really cool. Ashley, you probably have gone to quite a few more maybe Premier League games than me since you were in England for a long time. So, but I was cool, man. I'm really excited to talk about Inter Miami now and everything that's gone. Like I was out of town for a long time and I was just kept, seeing some of those tweets and thing, all of these movements with this team. So, hey, 2025, right now it's like an open book for Inter Miami. There's a lot of stuff that they're going to do and new things are going to happen. So, a lot of stuff to talk about, but I'm happy to be here with you, Ash. It's been such a long time. It's cool.
I know. Yeah, I agree. Well, I mean, I've only been to two Premier League games, so you're very close to me. And mine, of course, was the rival Tottenham because I'm a Tottenham fan.
Of course,
people in the comments know.
Which they've been doing good. They've been doing good.
They're not. No? Oh my god, we could do a whole episode on Tottenham.
They won 4-0 recently, though, right? And didn't they win 4-0 recently against who was?
Yeah, they beat Man City, but then they lost a bunch of stupid games, and it's a stupid team, and I'm a stupid fan. So, back to this. I'm glad you had your trip, and obviously I did some traveling too and family stuff, so we're super happy to be back. We needed a little bit of a break, I think. Yeah. We had from February till only a few weeks ago a lot of stuff happened for Inter Miami, and we both also have full-time jobs and things like that. This is our passion and hobby, but we're super happy to be back and excited for next season. So many things, like Gian said, already to discuss. But a few things that we want to close out from the 2024 season, which, we had this incredible discussion with Xavi about, was it a success? Was it a failure? Inter Miami winning trophies, but not obviously making it far in the playoffs. I think a season of crazy ups and downs, as we know, LA Galaxy, ended up being the MLS champs. Was that indicative of the season overall? I don't know. I mean, there were obviously lots of questions about the MLS playoff format as is. But obviously we think we should have done better. And part of that, I think, is it could start with our basically first subject, which I have is a overall 2024 season player ratings. Now, it was a season of a lot of ups and downs, a lot of roster changes, a lot of injuries, a lot of players succeeding, players maybe we didn't expect to succeed to do well, players that we did expect not to do as well. So I figure we could just spend a little bit of time maybe highlighting a few of those. And I guess we should start with the namesake, which is Messi. How would you rate Lionel Messi's season out of 10? Or if you want to give it a grade.
So I think Messi is it's a complex one. I don't think there's an easy answer. And obviously, we all have our own opinions on this one. But for me, I think I can kind of almost mix two different scores, right? So if I want to go give it on performance alone, for me, it's a 10. Yeah. If I want to, but to add some nuance to it and make it more, I think, of a complete score, I also have to factor in availability, which I think is obviously very important for any team that has a player, and especially if it's their best player. What do they say? The best ability is availability. And I think that because of that I'd have to drop that 10 score a bit and factor that in. And for me, I think when, you know, he's a guy that was able to turn the team around on any time he was basically on the field. When he was on the field, you always felt like you could win. Unfortunately, that didn't necessarily work out in the playoffs, but throughout the season, he was just spectacular. There were games that we had no business winning because of our performances, and there was just, you know, magical moments from Messi. And I felt like he also, not only what he was doing on the pitch as far as his performance, but also his leadership and his ability to put the team on his back, like, yeah, that was definitely a 10. Now, he missed, what, maybe like 40% of the games or something like that. And some of them were out of control, obviously, because he had to go on international duty. And then, obviously, the injuries. But I think that if I had to factor that in, I'm dropping him maybe to like a 8.5 to 9. I'll give it a range. I can't give it an exact one, but I'll get an 8.5 to 9 simply because of availability. But other than that, he was exactly the player that we were looking for when we brought him in. It wasn't just because, you know, it'd be cool to have Messi on here. We were expecting him to be amazing. We were expecting him to be a leader. We were expecting him to bring a spotlight onto the city. And he's, I think, by far exceeded our expectations. He's the MVP of the league.
Yep, that's right. I was going to bring that up. Yep.
So, I mean, 8.5 to 9. But performance alone, 10. He's just amazing. And look, we have him at least on paper for another year. We'll talk about a little bit more about that later. So it's just exciting. He's by far met our expectations.
I couldn't agree more. I think you said it all perfectly. MVP, which we have to, you know, mention maybe controversially, depending on who you're talking to. But there's no doubt that in terms of rating when he was available, not injury, not international. I mean, greatest player, you know, on the team, greatest player in the league. I would still argue, you know, top 10 in the world. Still, I'd say probably even top 5, if we're being completely honest, to this, you know, if he's fully healthy and available, there aren't many players you'd choose over him even to this day. So yeah, I agree. I think that's a really fair score. I'd say, you know, on the field 10, but maybe availability and just overall, you know, I don't know, like, yeah, availability for the team and the whatever, all of those things, and just over, you know, consistency with the team and the players available, maybe like an 8.5. Yeah. Still excellent. Other players, you know, Suarez, I would give probably, I'll just say a couple and then you can say a couple highlights for me. I think like Suarez and Alba, both had great seasons. Jordi Alba, we already knew from last season, and obviously we know Suarez in terms of his overall career, but I think Suarez, you know, scored a ton of goals, did, you know, probably better than we thought when the season was starting, and, you know, was in charge of a lot of goal contributions. Alba too, absolutely, you know, Iron Man, played so much of the season, created a lot of chances and a lot of moments, super competitive. So, yeah, I think those two were two highlights. I'd say maybe lowlights. I think that someone who we put a lot of expectation, who probably exceeded his expectations last year, someone like Robert Taylor, who this year, I don't think maybe when he was put in the games was as much of a threat with goals as he was last season. That could just be kind of, you know, how his availability and the fact that there were players ranked ahead of him, right? That got more playing time than he did. I would say, you know, Matias Rojas, who had an incredible start to the season, kind of petered out a little towards the end of the season and wasn't, again, able to deliver those intense highs that we saw in the beginning of the season. And, you know, defensively, Tomas Aviles, I thought, really took a negative turn this season after what was great, young play from last season. Lack of discipline caused us some issues. But yeah, I'll start there. What, I don't know if you want to comment on any of those or if you have other people you want to call
yeah,
out.
Yeah, well, with the last one you said, obviously the discipline is a huge thing for him. Discipline, and we go back to what I said about Messi and the availability. That's one of the biggest abilities, and his availability at times was difficult to predict just because of the fact that he kept finding himself with so many issues with the yellow card accumulation. Mm-hmm. And imagine from, you know, Tata Martino's point of view, when he's trying to figure out what his best 11 are, and one of the guys who's in his best 11, he doesn't know if he's going to play from week to week because, you know, yeah. I mean, he'd come back from a card suspension and the very next game gets a card and he's off again the next game. I can't remember how many suspensions he had. So I think that that definitely takes a knock on his overall rating as a player. I think he also, from a performance side, did kind of, you know, at times, man, we would see really good plays from him. But I think there were a lot of issues, especially towards maybe the latter part of the season over what maybe we saw at the beginning of his tenure with Miami. So I got to agree with you on that. I mean, I'm probably giving him, I don't know, a 7, 7.5 around there. When you talk about Suarez and this team and what he's been able to do, you know, there was a lot of talk about him coming into here from Gremio. And talking about his availability because of the fact that he's got knee issues and injuries and all that. I mean,
he'd hold up. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can tell when he runs on the pitch, he looks like he's, you know, his upper body's just going to fall off and off of his knees is the way he runs. And he looks hobbled. But I mean, the goals that he was scoring and the amount of goals, the amount of assists, not even just goals, like how many goal contributions he had. He was one of the best in the league, I think. So I think that for me, he's a highly rated player. The only thing I would take away from him, but it's also, I guess, at direction maybe of the coach because they want to make sure that he's able to time his runs and have the energy towards the end of the game because of his age, but he didn't do as much on defense. So I think that maybe that might be something that they're thinking about next season. Is he going to be a guy that's going to be able to be on the pitch 80 to 90 minutes like he was this season? Is there going to be a moment where maybe Campana gets more minutes, or maybe they bring in another forward that can still have a really good scoring presence but also be able to help out in the later parts, latter parts of the game when you're up and you don't want to lose an offensive presence but you still want to need more help on defense? I think those are issues that we had where you couldn't count on Suarez, but you didn't want on defense, but you didn't want to take him out because you needed that scoring presence. So, but I would give Suarez definitely probably an 8 around there. I think he did really good. Jordi Alba, the best left back in MLS, in my opinion. Yep. I think many would also share that opinion. He was just amazing for us, not only defensively, but his ability to play make, his ability to connect with Messi so well. How many times mm-hmm. did we see goals that we saw when they were in Barca? Like, they know each other so well that you could look at Jordi. Jordi makes the run down the left-hand side, and he doesn't even have to look. He wouldn't even look. That's he knew exactly that Messi. It was just that connection is a connection that you can't find anywhere else. They can pay $20 million for a European left back, and they're not going to have that connection that Jordi and Messi have. So I think that as long as Messi's here, Jordi's here, Jordi easily a 9 for me.
Yeah, agreed.
And then, you know, obviously there's others. We can't go through all of them. If not, we'd be here hours. But just a few guys, and I want to touch on this one, Gressel. I think
Gressel. Yeah, I was going to bring him up.
Yeah, Gressel was excellent for me. I mean, there are things that maybe some expected of him that are just not his game and that maybe kind of skewed their thinking of him. But what he was asked to do by the coach, he did. And he did very well, and he was able to play. Maybe he didn't excel as much as you'd want as players that maybe were playing in their natural position. But he was wherever he was, he could fill in that gap. They made him play right back. They made him play right wing. They made him play right midfield. They made, like, wherever they needed him.
Yeah.
He did the job. And I think that for me, that was just, it was like, that's a bonus card. It was just a really good thing. And for him, I'm giving him easily like an 8. And then last one, I guess, let's go with somebody that you maybe didn't mention. Let's go with Redondo. Redondo, for me, the expectations were really high on him. Obviously, his lineage, his father, amazing player. He comes in, I think the first few games, I remember being at the stadium with the media, you and I watching him and being like, wow, this guy's excellent. His ability to touch the ball, play the ball, his ability to slow the game down, think, and kind of find the right passes. And I think as you know, obviously he got injured, and I don't know how much of this is just injury or maybe something happened wrong with his game, but I don't think he looked as good as he did those first few games for us. So that was quite disappointing, even though he was still starting games. Again, maybe injury, but to me, for me, he was like a 6.5. Mm-hmm. Hopefully he'll improve. But yeah, that's where I'm at. I mean, I think that a lot of we've got a lot of great talent still. Whatever happens over this offseason, whatever happens in free agency, we've got a lot of really good core guys for 2025.
Agreed. And I think Russell, it's a great point. You know, like a very in some eyes great, in some eyes disappointing. Overall, yeah. I think he did exactly what was asked from him, from the team. Sergio Busquets, another person we didn't mention. Again, I don't want to go through every player. I'm just going to say Sergio, and then I'm going to say one other. You know, Sergio's still at his age, I still think, is one of the best at his position. And when he's available, maybe he's not always the fastest to get back in transition, but he is still just such a conductor and can see every grass on the pitch perfectly and is five steps ahead of everyone, has had to play center back, you know, did what by far, in my opinion, what he's been asked to do and perform at that level.
I don't think we're eliminated. Ash, I don't think we're eliminated in the first round if we have him for game two. Like, I
agree.
Complete difference in that team without him. Huge difference.
I think all four, you know, obviously injuries, availability, things can be said, but all four from Barcelona have certainly matched the level, if not exceeded, that was expected of them to come at this point in their career. Like, if we're being honest, you know, they are all, no one's playing like they're washed. They're playing like, you know, superstars. And then the last person I want to mention who the world is his oyster is Yannick Bright, who just was an absolute rock star as a rookie. And just, we talked about him all through the season when he was asked to play. Just absolutely stellar. One of, I think, the biggest surprises and upsides of the season. And yeah, he's only going to go up from here. If he's still in MLS in the next couple of years, I'd be very surprised, because he is a huge talent that I think will be going overseas if he continues kind of in this path.
Yeah, you've been the biggest advocate I know of.
I think
from the beginning you were
from
very,
the game preseason game against Noel.
You
said,
were 100%. Props to you said, from the very beginning. You might have a future as a player scout for Inter Miami, because I remember you saw him and you were talking highly of him. You always have, and I would not be surprised if what you say comes to fruition, and in a couple of years he's maybe in, you know, in Italy maybe, or in Brighton playing with Diego.
Well, no, great transition, Gian. You knew what I was gonna say. You
like that?
Ready to go. Two specific player acquisition / losses that I think we should definitely mention. Luis Suarez re-signed, which we talked about him a few minutes ago.
And not resigned, re-signed.
Oh,
sorry, that was corny. Sorry. I try.
I was about to say, are they spelled differently? Like, I was really like, did I mess that up?
That was my poor attempt. I'm not even a dad.
You're right.
I'm not a dad, but I got the jokes. That's crazy. Sorry about that.
Re-signed. I think a decision I'm perfectly happy with. And I, you know, he, like we said earlier, has certainly earned at least another year to keep playing. He showed no signs of slowing down. We even saw towards the end of the season, Tata had a good amount of minutes where he played both him and Campana. So I don't think by any means does that mean that, you know, Campana is going to be, again, you know, only 10 minutes a game. I think we'll see a lot more of that rotation and maybe even both them playing. I'm perfectly happy with Suarez re-signing. I think he was excellent, and I hope we continue seeing those goals from him. But the more important one, like we said, like it was reported in the summer, and we honestly heard it last season, was Diego Gomez officially sold to Brighton in the Premier League for a I know for sure Inter Miami record breaking. I almost want to say it was all record breaking, something like that. Like, now I don't even have it. Was it 15 million?
I'm looking it up right now. It was a extremely large number, and it also could have been even higher they had bonuses in there that I think would even increase it by like an additional million. So it's he went for a record club record fee for $15 million.
Yeah.
With add-ons that ranks among the most expensive outbound transfers in MLS history. So
yeah. I mean, talk about Inter Miami like totally getting their money's worth. They flipped him for a great amount of money, and knowing the other roster conditions we have, such as Luis Suarez, such as Jordi Alba resigning, you know, top heavy, and being able to get such an incredible amount of money for an incredible player. Diego Gomez was phenomenal for us, and when he was healthy and available, really played at a high level. He will certainly be missed, but you have to say great business by Inter Miami and doing what we're hoping is a trend where, as long as, you know, hopefully for at least another 2 years, which we'll talk about in a little bit, having Messi as your core, being able to bring in young talent, specifically from South America, if not other parts of MLS, and being able to show their ability, having them grow with Messi as their teammate on the field and getting the best out of them, and then being able to send them to Europe, you know, for incredible teams like Brighton, which is a top team in the Premier League. I mean, that is a big step, and it reflects really well on Inter Miami as an organization.
Yeah, and as we all knew, Diego Gomez from the very beginning, his agent was very clear, and Inter Miami was very clear that he was only going there as a transitional period within his career to be able to make sure that he was going to go to the Premier League after. And Inter Miami was, you know, they were all under agreement. Inter Miami said, we're not going to give you any issues. That's the plan. We understand your plan. And once we have that offer from the Premier League, we're going to go ahead and facilitate that. And they held to their word. And I think that that's a really good way to announce to all these other players that are in South America, these young guys that want to go ahead and go forward in their career and make it to these big leagues, and say, hey, if I have the ability to go to a team like Inter Miami, especially a team that has basically all eyes on them, it's a free scouting for you. Like,
yeah,
the exactly. Marketing is crazy. I'm going to go out there, get my name out there. Maybe I'll make a little less than if I go to, let's say, you know, maybe Mexico, or even though Mexico is a big market, rather, but maybe another league where I'll make less. But hey, I'm going to go out there and get my name. I'm going to learn from the best. They're always going to have top tier players, whether it's with Messi now or Messi later. I think this team is going to continue to bring in all stars that the younger guys are going to be able to learn from. So from that aspect, I think it was a win for the club because they're going to attract a lot of really good talent. It's a win for us. We're going to get to see a lot of great players on a lot of these young guys that, you know, 10 years from now when they're playing in, who knows, Real Madrid, Barca, or Tottenham, or whatever, we're going to be like, hey, those guys started Inter Miami. So that's going to be cool. From a financial standpoint, man, if you're able to get these guys for a couple million dollars or a few million dollars and flip them for 3 to 4, even 5 times what you did, that's great business. And you might be saying, who cares about great business for Inter Miami? How does that affect me? That, you know, I didn't get any dollars or whatever from this. No, it does affect us as fans.
Well, in the financial rules of the league, yeah.
Exactly, because they're gonna be able to do that and then afford to bring in more players and more players, right? They'll spend more, and I think that that's what we want. You know, right now there are obviously restrictions on this league, but there are ways to facilitate to be able to spend more money. And I think that that's important from that side. But then from a Diego Gomez perspective, man, he was great for our team. Obviously, you know, I was very fond, and I still am, of Robert Taylor on that left wing. I think he did amazing things. He had great goals, his speed. He was fun to watch. But I think seeing how good Robert Taylor was, it speaks even more of Diego Gomez, that Diego Gomez basically sent Robert Taylor to the bench, and he was left wing. And then what he brought was not only, you know, maybe he didn't have the finesse that Robert Taylor had, but he had the power, the stamina,
the work.
That means some of these goals that he had were just.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Pure strength to be able to get around players, to body players and get
and the will. Yeah,
exactly. And then the defense, he played great defense. Not only was he helping Ford, but he'd get back and helping that midfield between him and Busquets and Yannick Bright and Gressel at times. And man, they did really good, I think, in the midfield. So I think that's something Inter Miami's going to miss a lot from Leo Gomez, but I'm thankful for what we got to experience in that short time with him, and I wish him the best. I'm definitely going to be watching Brighton games because there is an Ecuadorian there, Estupiñán. And Caicedo actually went from there to Chelsea. I'll be watching
Alexis McAllister. Same thing. Like Brighton they take young talent and they turn him into superstars. So I agree. Wish nothing but the best for him. I think maybe I may be wrong. This is going off of memory. I think we paid like $3 million for him, and to turn that into 15. Yeah. Great business. Look, it wasn't a shot at Robert Taylor earlier. I think it was just a matter of, you know, playing time and things like that. If he's the one who's starting for us in the left wing for this next season, I'll have faith in that. And, you know, maybe, like I said, also, we may see more of those two forwards playing with Suarez re-signed. So, yeah, I mean, wishing him nothing but the best. Diego Gomez, excellent player for us, great moments, and hopefully a good trend for Inter Miami. Let's talk about a couple other roster changes. We may be having, obviously, more conversations about this in other episodes, but a couple notable things I want to mention. I'm just going to look down at my phone while I look at them. In terms of contracts that we exercised, that we kept, Jordi Alba, that we mentioned earlier, Leo Alfonso, who had some huge moments for us. And, you know, again, another thing where now that Diego Gomez is sold, you may see more minutes for him. Channel Wengat, that's a big one. Clearly showing that he is, unless someone, you know, something drastic happens, will be the starting right back for Inter Miami. And someone who had mixed opinions from the fans, I think defensively, in my opinion, was a step up from what we had and did a good job and was consistent. Offensively left something to be desired. So it will be interesting to see with more time how that maybe shifts.
That's an interesting one for me, just because I've been one of those from the very beginning that didn't really like that signing for Inter Miami. Yeah. I think that at the very beginning we kind of did see some flashes of you know, that looked basically made it look like a good signing, but at the end of the day, I've seen mixed reviews from a lot of people on social media and a lot of others that follow the team talking about DeAndre Yedlin still being, at the end of the day, was better than him. I thought, for me, it wasn't wise to bring a guy that sat on the bench for Boca Juniors. He wasn't a starter. I think a team like this that's on that has an international audience, that's going to be in big tournaments, that's going to be in El Mundial and the Club World Cup, has to bring in top-tier players and shouldn't be fielding bench players from other teams. So I think for me, it's still he leaves a lot to how's the saying go? Leaves a lot to
be desired
on this team. I think that defensively we should find a better right back defensively and find a right back that maybe offers more on the offensive end, right?
Well, we had it, and his name was Ian Frey, and poor guy is just
exactly.
Yeah,
but yeah, for me, that's an interesting one. I'm one of those that's open to an upgrade at that part on that side of the field.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, also a couple notable contracts that we let expire and that are not coming back: Sergi Kristoff, Franco Negri, both who I think we would kind of agree. You know, we didn't expect them to come back.
The Negri one got me, though. I will say, but the Negri for me was obviously you have Jordi, not expecting him to start, but I think Negri.
Noah Allen, which I think is what they want to be the.
But Noah Allen is not. But Noah Allen. Well, now we have a new coach, so we'll have to see. But
we didn't even talk about that. You're right.
We'll have to talk about that briefly before we end. At least mention it. But the Noah Allen became more of a center back. He wasn't a left back anymore. He was a center back under Tata Martino. So we'll have to see what Mascherano decides to do with him. Yeah. Noah, I think, is become better throughout the season. So I really like him. But for me, I think Negri was a really good player that you can have slot in to give Jordi Alba rest. I always liked Negri. So that was kind of weird to me. He would have been a great bench player for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we have to talk about Mascherano. We're keeping David Martinez. who I think you probably imagine will be the starting left center back. I think it's probably going to be him, Tomas Aviles, Wingard, and Alba. I think that's probably your best back four. I mean, we'll see. Before we do say that, though, I think you're – I totally forgot, which is crazy because it's such a huge part of the team and everything. But Tata Martino left the team, you know, quote-unquote left the team by mutual decision, or kind of he said he was stepping away for personal reasons.
He left the team, but they had a new coach like 5 days later. If that's not the fastest hiring of a coach that I've ever seen in my life for an unexpected walking away.
Yeah. I think, you know, Tata, really, we had a lot of ups and a lot of downs with him. Sometimes his tactics and his choices, everyone didn't agree with. I think it does have to be said, he took a team that was 15th and brought them two trophies, an MLS points record, had to deal with a lot of injuries, had to play the season, half of it without Messi, big personalities. You know, I think he deserves credit for a lot of the things he did. And I think time will tell if it was the right decision or not. I mean, in the playoffs, you know, again, mixed opinions of his tactics. It went back and forth. He definitely brought a lot of good out of a lot of players and, you know, tried to get the capacity of them. I don't, you know, I think it was probably the right decision to have a new coach for this year, knowing, again, that we do have an expiring timetable with some of these players. And the goal is win now, and you got to try to do that. I'm not as familiar, to be completely honest, with Mascherano. I obviously know the Argentine connection. I know that
that's all you need to know.
That's all you need to know. You know, was coaching in the youth, or in the, I guess, youth or the under, you know, the team the below youth. The Argentina national team. Time will tell. Obviously, it's a decision Messi is happy with, and that's still the most important part, and it's the truth. It is, if Messi, the most important thing for this team is right now, Messi has to be happy, because we'll talk about it as our last subject, but every day Inter Miami that has Messi is a good day for the team, for the club, for MLS, for all of those things. So you got to keep him happy. Let's hear your thoughts, and maybe we'll do more about this in a different episode, but let's hear it.
Yeah, I guess the biggest question for how you kind of grade Tata Martino here at Inter Miami before he left is, does all the good that he did for this team, and with every coach, you're going to have some sort of issue or something you can pick at, the tactics, the timing of the substitutions, the personnel on the field. That's with every coach. You can have Pep Guardiola, Ancelotti, pick whoever you want, the best coaches in the world. You're going to be pissed at some point or another with something they do. So whatever. But at the end of the day, you look at the points, you look at the trophies, you look at what he was able to do to what you said, injuries and players missing, not just players, Messi missing. And the guy did a great job, right? Did a great job in the season. So the main question here is, when you grade it, does all the good he did for this team get erased by the fact that he was ousted in the first round by the 7th place seed in the East that had that traded away both of their DP players and had none other DP players? How does that? There's nowhere way that should have happened. I just remember at the last game where we were at, and we were all in shock. Like, there's no way that this ended like this. Yeah. So I think that's something you have to take. Does all of that just negate everything he did during the season? Because it's cool to have all that stuff during the season, and then you have this supporter shield that is not important in my eyes. I mean, I think the main goal was to win the MLS Cup. So that'll be an interesting topic. Maybe we can talk about it another time. But as you're listening to this or watching us, think about that. Like, when you're – what did that negate everything he did? Now, when we talk about Mascherano, he hasn't proven anything. He's never been a first-team coach, never coached the club. coached the Argentina, and I think it's the U21 or U20 team, whatever, and, or the Olympic team. And I mean, he didn't do all that well either. So there's nothing really, as far as his resume is concerned, that should warrant him being on this team as a coach. There's nothing, nothing on there. And if you're leaving Tata Martino, who does have on his resume, he has everything on there that says he should be here and he should be a coach at Inter Miami. I don't know how, like, for me, Mascherano doesn't have any of that. And there are a lot of other coaches that could have been brought in that would have warranted and had more over, I think, Mascherano. So that's an interesting one for me. And I also think that, and I think many will agree, like, Mascherano's only here because Messi allowed and wanted it to. Because he, other than that, there's nothing on there that says that he should be a coach for Inter Miami. But I don't want to judge him from the, you know, right now. Like, let's see what he does at the end of the day. I don't know if he doesn't deserve it on paper, but let's see what he does for the good of the club. I hope that he's able to gain that experience that he or use that experience that he has as being an amazing player. We know that. He's a great player on a club level internationally. So hopefully he brings that in and what he's learned from some of the best coaches that he's been able to be taught by and use that for this team. And we'll see. I think that early on we'll be able to see in what he does. I'd like to see what he does in free agency, what players he asks for. So, that's kind of how I feel about that. That's Messi's pick right there. And that's really the only reason he's here at Inter Miami is because he's his friend. But
And I mean, look, Pep Guardiola didn't, you know, start day one as the best coach of all, you know, ever. Sometimes you get put in good situations and you have to, you know, will you rise to the challenge? And so I agree. Probably people more qualified, definitely people more qualified that you maybe would have expected, but it was a decision. And if it's what Messi wants, you know, time will tell. I think he'll have a very short leash, you know, if it doesn't go well early on. I don't think he'll have the same time and credibility that Tata had, where they gave him, you know, time to make some mistakes. So we'll just see. We'll let it happen, and we'll see what it looks like.
As long as it keeps Messi happy, that's the goal here. They're trying to keep Messi happy.
That's the whole hard truth. And people, I've said it before multiple times on this podcast, and people can have their opinion, and fans can have their opinion. Lionel Messi is the most famous athlete of all time, probably, if you're thinking about it from a global scale. What he's brought to the city, what he's brought to MLS, what he's brought to these players, what he's brought to the fans, there's really no price on. And as long as he wants to keep playing, and he's clearly, like I said, he's still a top 10 player in the world. I'm sorry, he is. He's better than ever, he's the greatest to ever play. He gets these rights and he gets these choices, and I, as a fan, am happy for it. And if it gets to a point where it's making everything so much worse, we'll say it. But at the moment, it's not, because he's still performing at this crazy high level. The three Barca players that have come with him and because of him have all been outstanding. They went from 15th to winning trophies. They sell out the stadiums. They bring all this money for youth soccer. They bring all this, you know, eyes to the team and to America and to the league. It's working. And as long as it keeps working at this level, he keeps getting those choices. If that changes, we'll talk about it then. But at this moment in time, what he wants, he gets. And I think that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, it is whatever it takes to keep him happy. But I just make sure we are also cautious with what we do. Make sure we don't make the incorrect decisions. I think that with Messi here, there's just maybe more, how would we say, maybe more leniency in some of the decisions that they make. I don't know if they're necessarily just like throwing everything out the door and saying, who cares if we're against this? If Messi wants it, we'll give it to him. I think it's more of like, we're on the fence, but because Messi wants it, we'll allow it. Yeah. But as long as I think it's a calculated risk is what they're taking. And there is some science behind it. There's some thought process behind it. So it's not all just whatever the heck he wants. That's not how it works either. So,
and I mean, I would say obviously what happened with Atlanta is a problem and reflects poorly. Outside of that, all of their risks have worked with him, right? They win the supporter shield. They break the record. They win League's Cup last year. They sell out the stadium every single game. They get all this rev. You know, they're every risk they're taking has worked. I mean, Champions Cup, injuries have happened. Messi, you know, Copa America, injuries have happened. There have been things out of their control. How the playoffs went, you know, was bad. But their risks have been working. And so, you know, Messi hopefully plays another 2 or 3 years. He's not playing another 10 years. So you keep making those risks.
Yeah, they just have to be. I just would say that everything you said is 100% correct. But they just need to tighten the leniency on those risks, because they have a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity coming up in 2025. It's a once-in-a-lifetime because it's Messi and it's Club World Cup. That's never going to happen again. Yep. So they just, whatever they do, they need to get right. If there was ever a season, it's this season.
Agreed. And I think that's a great transition to what is the final topic for today. We will be back with another episode before the year ends, by the way. I want to say that because I know we obviously have taken this break, but we'll be doing a little bit more episodes now. And then obviously turn of the year when we're getting ready for preseason and things like that, will be increasing. And we have big plans for next year, by the way. So, you know, we're not going anywhere. We're hoping to do more content, more guests, more all those things, planning all those things. So stick around. With that being said, the big question on everyone's mind, especially us, because it will mean a lot for the show and for us as fans, is Lionel Messi going to extend? Right now, his contract ends at the end of the 2025 season, where they'll be playing the Club World Cup. And, you know, the team, we have a lot of expectations, will be in the CONCACAF Champions Cup as well. Other big tournaments, the world will be watching. But questions are, is he going to extend to 2026? Because from an international standpoint, unless, again, knock on wood, catastrophic injury or something crazy happens, he's going to be playing in the World Cup in 2026, most likely starting, like 99% starting, unless, again, something crazy happens. It'll be in America. Yeah. You imagine the last big international tournament for him. But with that being said, we probably think he's going to play into the 2026 at least. What do you think?
I think the overall consensus from the media and from many in the sport is that, yeah, he's going to be around until 2026. He's going to obviously want to play in that World Cup, at least from what we've seen. He continues to remain competitive. He continues to be in shape and has that desire to continue to win trophies. And I think what better place, as you said, it's in the USA. He's in Miami, a place that he loves, a place that his family loves. His kids are in the academies. He's just having the time of his life with his mate, walking around everywhere, sipping out of the little
gets a little straw, better life, probably a little bit more of a casual life than he did when he was in Europe.
Exactly. I mean, he said it himself. He's able to be more of himself here. He's able to be closer to his family. He's able to go out more. He just feels better than he did. As far as a privacy and familial standpoint than he did in Barca, in Barcelona rather. So I think that he's going to want to stay here. I don't think he's going to want to go to Argentina or anything like that. He had the opportunity to do that. I don't think that's something he wanted to do, to go to Rosario. So for me, he's going to be here. He's going to be competing. He wants to. We're probably going to see him, which is something that I very much look forward to, see him in that new stadium. Which now looks like it's going to be in 2026. So, yeah, I expect very much that he'll be here, and I'm excited for that. I wonder what shape he's going to be in, but I think the way he kind of trains and the way he's, you know, he's drinking a lot of Mas Plus now. So we'll have to see. Hopefully, I think he'll still be in a very competitive shape. He's a guy just like, and I know many probably don't want me to make this comparison, but some of the top guys, you think about Cristiano Ronaldo, you know, at the age he's at and keep the shape that he's in.
2 years older than Messi, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I think that Messi, top in the world, is going to be able to keep that up as well and going to be able to play in the World Cup.
Can I say something crazy?
Yeah.
Ready?
Yeah.
Not only is he going to be in Inter Miami 2026, I think he may be here in 2027.
That's wild. All right.
I think he, just like you said, I mean, Ronaldo, 2 years older, and if Ronaldo wanted to play for 3 more years, he could. And I mean, obviously, people can say, you know, his form has gone down and et cetera, but he still plays for Portugal at a very high level when he plays. He still scored over 900 goals. Like, I mean, obviously, this is not the Ronaldo show, but Ronaldo's 2 years older and is still at that level. Messi, you would say, is playing, like I said, when healthy, still a top 10 player. I think he'd start for almost anyone in the world if he wanted to. And not only do I think he has another two seasons in him, including, like I said, the 2026 season where he's going to open the new stadium for Inter Miami and play in the last World Cup, I think he could play in 2027 if he wanted to. And then I think he'd be 40, right? Or maybe 41. Yeah. But yeah, all of that to say, I mean, we'll see about 2027, but 100% 2026. And I actually think the extension is going to happen in the next few weeks, that he's going to be signed to at least finish until 2026. Like I said, if he's playing in the World Cup at a high level and starting, which is what we expect, which is crazy to say when it's 2 years away, yeah. He's 38, but we expect him to start and still probably be one of the best players in the World Cup. He could play until 2027 if he wants to. We'll see. We'll see. But
I think it comes from extended. Everything is, I think,
it's his choice. Right?
Yeah. And it's at this point in his career, it's personal level and then physical level. Like, I think it's what's best for his family and what his family wants to do. And if they want him and they're okay with him committing to another year of the high intensity training, the travel, being without the kids, you know, all that stuff, it's tough on the family.
Right.
That's like the number one thing for him at this point in his career. And then obviously if he feels healthy enough. So we'll see. I think 2026, 2025 will show us a lot. 2026 is the litmus test to see if he goes into 2027. But
yeah,
regardless, we got, I think, a couple more years of him. So that's
exciting. I agree. I think we have at least two more seasons. Garrett, like I expect a 2026 extension. I think we all do, which is exciting because we love this show and we love this team and excited to see how they keep growing. And he's clearly, I mean, he hasn't. The fact that he hasn't really gotten down at all in terms of, I mean, yeah, you could say he doesn't like run as defensively as much as he used to and all those things and the walking, but he always did the walking. If you were paying attention, he always was waiting to see what happened. I mean, the fact that his form is still so amazing is crazy. We expect the extension to happen soon. We expect to have another at least two full great seasons with Messi, and we'll be there every step of the way. We covered a lot in this episode. I'm sure there's a lot of things we missed. There's a lot to talk about. Like we said, we're coming back another episode before the new year in the next 2 weeks for sure. And then we'll keep seeing how the team evolves, how the signings evolve, the schedule, all those good things. But as always, thank you for watching this episode of Messi & Co. I'm Ashley. That is Gian. And we will see you next time.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health. A world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.